Today's reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As Joe said, I served my curacy here. There are a few people around who were here then. I left here at the end of January 2012, but I'm back now as part of the congregation. I tend to go to the 9:30 because I retired from my post as rural dean and team vicar at the end of September last year, and it just so happens that Joe is going to do his placement at my old benefice, which is lovely. So let's pray together. Lord, may we have open hearts and minds to receive from you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in that reading that we've just heard from Luke's Gospel, we've heard his account of Jesus' answer to his disciples about how to pray. And that's then followed by a parable to help us to understand more about God's kingdom. But I want to begin with a monologue that's been written based on that passage, and it's Jesus who's speaking. "When you pray, start by praising the Lord your God. Be confident in believing that God's kingdom will one day come to pass. Give thanks for the good things you have. Ask for God's forgiveness for the wrong you do, remembering to forgive those who wrong you. And ask for the strength to not give way to temptation. Look, suppose you come across someone in need and they ask for food to eat. Would you turn them away? How many people in the world go to bed hungry? Suppose they come to you and ask for shelter. Would you shut the door on them? How many people sleep on the streets of our towns and cities? Suppose they turn up on your shore seeking sanctuary. What limit would you put on your hospitality? How many people plead for asylum and refuge from poverty and persecution? So when you pray to God, calling his kingdom into being, remember that God's will is done through you. When God gives you your daily bread, take care to break that bread and to share it with others. For the good things that you have come from God. They are not yours alone. You can make the difference, but not on your own. Be as faithful in your prayers as in your actions, for the Lord will reward your persistence and hear your prayers. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who calls God Abba, Father, Daddy, who keeps God remote and aloof a million miles from them and their lives? Would you pray for the coming of God's kingdom and go your own way, living according to your own will? Would you pray for daily bread for yourself, but not for your neighbor? Would you beg God's forgiveness, but forever hold a grudge against those who have wronged you? Would you plead to be spared temptation and be delivered from evil, yet give away to all manner of vices and indulgences? Would you acknowledge that the kingdom is God's, whilst seeking power and glory for yourself? Do not be like the hypocrites when you pray. I think that is food for thought. So the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray. You see, they've watched Jesus at prayer, and therefore they know it's important because Jesus prayed. And our prayers speak to others too. I wonder what sort of example we set. Do our children and grandchildren learn from our example? Praying for and with non-Christian friends can be a powerful witness to God's love for them. For even those who profess to have no faith are usually glad of the prayers of those with faith. Well, in response to the request, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus gives his disciples a model, the core elements of which are recorded by Luke and form a useful outline guide for our prayers. It's adoration and invocation, which are then followed by confession and petition. Note that the Lord's Prayer isn't a complete guide to every aspect of prayer. If you notice, there's no specific intercession, though the prayer for the coming of the kingdom can have an intercessory dimension. The prime focus of concern in the Lord's Prayer is the person who is doing the praying or the community to which he or she belongs. I don't know about you, but it's really quite easy, isn't it, just to recite off the Lord's Prayer without really thinking about it, without really thinking about what we're praying. So I want to spend a little bit of time just thinking about what it contains. So the first petition asks for God's kingdom to come. Now, you know, God's kingdom is a bit of a slippery concept, for it's in the future, but it's also now. Signs of people being set free, signs of people speaking out for justice and truth. I wonder how we see signs of the kingdom in our midst. And what about us? How do we take part in the kingdom's activities brought about through the Holy Spirit's action in the world? Jesus goes on to pray for bread. Now, concepts of material need have changed massively in our lifetimes. So I wonder, do we ever stop to think about the difference between need and want? Or are we so caught up in our consumer-orientated society that if we want something, it means that we need it? I wonder if we try and instill realistic values into our children and grandchildren. We know all too well that there are many in our world who grow hungry. But actually, if we are to share, and global corporations and governments play their part, there is enough food for everyone. The rise of the use of food banks in our country reminds us that there are many who need a helping hand here. So don't forget to buy a little extra when you do your food shopping and put it in the box at church or in the one in the supermarket if you can. Next comes forgiveness. Now, when Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as president of South Africa, he invited to the ceremony a guest whom few, if any, had any idea about who this person was. The great and the good were there, kings and queens, presidents and prime ministers, but who was this man? Well, the mystery was solved when Mandela introduced him as the one who had been his prison guard during his years of incarceration. You see, he'd invited him to demonstrate how he wanted forgiveness and reconciliation to be characteristics of the new South Africa. You see, at a personal level, Mandela knew that he could never truly be free unless he forgave those who sinned against him. And forgiveness is at the heart of the Lord's Prayer and at the heart of the gospel message. For without forgiveness, there can be no true freedom and no true peace. So every time that we pray the Lord's Prayer, we seek forgiveness as we forgive those who sin against us. But I wonder how good we are at forgiving others. You know, sadly, churches can often be characterized by a lack of forgiveness or grudges and gripes that go back decades. And such lack of forgiveness is contrary to the gospel and can be so petty when set in the light of the example of Mandela and other stories. So actually, this morning, if we're holding on to something that we need to let go of and forgive, then can I suggest that you need to do business with God today. Tell him about it and ask his help to forgive. Now, the prayer also describes a way of living in harmony with God, the world, and those to whom we're close. So I wonder how our lives measure up to this challenge. What simple things could we change in our lives to move closer to the ideal described by the prayer? Why not spend a bit of time this week thinking and praying about it? Well, Jesus goes on to illustrate that God can be trusted to respond to our prayer by telling the parable of the friend at midnight. Now, hospitality was of paramount importance in the biblical world. And when a guest arrived, even unexpected, even at midnight, there was no question that hospitality must be extended. So when the man in the story finds himself without enough bread for his guest, he goes to his friend and asks to borrow some, even though that means he's got to wake up his friend and his entire household. "Don't bother me," the friend answers from within. "The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." Well, we might well empathise a bit with the woken up friend, you know, and think, well, is the midnight caller a bit pushing the limits of friendship? But in the culture of the biblical world, it's the woken up friend who's behaving badly. For the ability of his friend to provide hospitality and thus his honour is at stake. Well, Jesus goes on to say that the man will eventually respond to his friend's request, not because he is a friend, but because of social pressure at the very least. Jesus' parable implies that if it's so among friends, with their mixed motives and self-interest, how much more so with God, who wants to give us what is good and life-giving, and who's invested in keeping God's name holy. And then we get these sayings about asking and receiving in verses 9 to 13, and they hang on that sense of how much more in verse 13, where it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, evil here is a relative rather than an absolute term, for even the best that human beings can manage falls far short of the goodness of God. The point is that people can be hospitable, generous, and responsive to the needs of others. How much more is that true of God? And God's greatest answer to prayer is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which, as we know in the light of Pentecost, is the power of the risen Christ, his continuing companionship and hospitality, which is revealed in the breaking of bread. But there is one final thing that Jesus teaches us about prayer in this passage, and that is, to put it simply, keep praying. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on God. Keep asking, keep searching, keep knocking. If God doesn't seem to be answering your prayer, don't give up. Persist in prayer, and your prayers will be answered, though not necessarily in the way that you expect. Why? Because God wants to get involved in our lives, in our world. God is the gracious, generous one who loves to give good gifts to his children and can be approached with the confidence of a child approaching a trusted, loved, and loving Abba, Daddy. When we pray, this is the God whom we're addressing. And God wants to hear from us. He's waiting for us to knock the door before opening. So the teaching of Jesus encourages us to come with confidence to God in prayer. So let's keep turning to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Let's keep inviting God to be involved with our lives and with our worlds. And then let's keep our eyes of faith open to see the amazing ways that God is answering our prayers. And so let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that even though we don't know how to ask, you know how to answer. That even though we don't know how to receive, you delight in giving us yourself. That even though we don't know where to seek, you make yourself known. That even when we cannot find you, you find us. That even though our knock is timid, you open the door with joy. Father God, hear our prayer, receive our thanks, and welcome us into the kingdom of your Son. Amen.